I'm with Dr. Abdullah Abdullah, the chairman of the High Council for National Reconciliation, a body that takes people from opposing points of view and brings them together to the negotiating table. And I'd also like to say here that Dr. Abdullah has been an integral part of Afghanistan's politics, not just in recent years, but for several decades. He has been CEO in the previous government, which is an odd sort of a title in India, in Indian politics, but that means that he has shared equal power with President Ashraf Ghani and is not just a very good friend of India's, but is also somebody who is very, very influential and powerful in Afghanistan. Dr. Abdullah, welcome to India and welcome to The Print.
Thanks.
So my first question to you, Dr. Abdullah, is about your role as chairman of the High Council for National Reconciliation. And in this regard, we saw on the 12th of September how you launched the talks with the Taliban in Doha, Qatar. But for the last 3 weeks or so, the talks don't seem to have gone anywhere. They seem to have stalled. Why?
The talks started in the fact that the start of the negotiations was historic. There is no fact. Doubt about it.
Yes.
Because that's after so many decades of
that's
war.
Right.
First time there is a chance. And then the progress has been slow in the past few weeks. There are two sides to the talks.
Okay.
One is the Islamic Republic of Afghanistan, one is the Taliban movement. And I can say that Taliban have not shown flexibility which was expected from them, but we are not disappointed. We continue. Their contacts continue.
Mm-hmm.
Those on daily basis, the two sides, either smaller groups or in bigger groups or in the individual way, they meet.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that that opportunity is there is a source of hope. But the people of Afghanistan expected the talks to have moved.
But
in much more speedy manner.
But when, Dr. Abdullah, when you met the Taliban in Doha, how did you feel? This is a group that was created by the Pakistani establishment in the 90s. They took power in 1996 and were in power for 5 long years. How did you feel coming face to face with a group like that, which has indulged in violence and terrorist activities?
One is personal emotions and feelings. One is the reality. Do we continue the war for decades to come? Already more than four decades
mm-hmm.
since the start of the war in Afghanistan. Or we try to find another way, a peaceful way.
But did you feel upset when you met them? Did you feel that they should apologize for all the violence that they have committed in our country?
The point is that the Afghanistan went through another round of violence, had gone through that before that, a few decades before.
Mm-hmm.
When we returned to power as Mujahideen, when we got to Kabul as Mujahideen, we didn't have the sense of revenge, hatred towards the regime which had ruled in Afghanistan for over one decade,
right.
Supported by the Soviet Union, because the continuation of the suffering of the people, whoever is the cause or whatever are the causes, this is something that we should put an end. So while had my old feelings and emotions, but at the same time I was looking at it as an opportunity towards better future. How it will materialize, how difficult it will be, I also know that it will not be easy.
But when you say they have shown no flexibility, what do you mean by that?
The talks are stuck around one or two things, depending on the issue of related to their code of conduct.
Mm-hmm.
This is something that we could have left behind much earlier, without getting into those details.
Right.
We provided a few compromise ways
mm-hmm.
of dealing with it. And also there is a demand by the people of Afghanistan that while the talks continue, and the absolute majority of our people, they support the negotiations, they are
right.
supportive. They want to see level of violence reduced.
Mm.
That has not taken place. They have not shown flexibility.
Mm.
So one is in the content of the talks, one or two items. which things are stuck there.
Is it because of the Taliban want the Hanafi school of Islam?
That one was addressed earlier.
Okay.
That one was that took a little bit of time. Those are sensitive issues, and of course people have diverse views about it. That has been already taken care of.
Mm-hmm.
Then there was the next issue that Taliban wanted, still want, that all the talks should be on the framework of their agreement, the agreement between the Taliban and the United States.
Right.
There are too many ways of overcoming this, and we have presented those options. We hope that we will get over this. This is one issue, and the next one is reduction in violence.
Yes.
Which is important for the people of Afghanistan.
Absolutely. So that hasn't still taken place. A ceasefire is still impending.
Yes. If we cannot agree on a complete ceasefire, which the government side is ready, the Islamic Republic is ready for a ceasefire, but if they cannot agree on a complete ceasefire, there are too many ways of reducing violence.
Like what?
For example, the people are traveling throughout the country from one province to the other province. Mm. We can make their travel safe by not stopping people on the roads, by not harassing them, and other things as well.
Mm. So, Dr. Abdullah, you've been traveling these last few weeks or last few days especially. You've been in Islamabad, now you're in Delhi, and now you will be going to Turkey and Iran in the next few weeks. So what your trip to Islamabad, tell us a little bit about it.
I have spoken extensively about my visit to Islamabad, which took place after some years.
Mm-hmm.
But there, the whole focus of our discussions were around peace and how important it was for Afghanistan, for countries of the region, and what each and every country could do in help. In support of the peace process.
So do you
there were issues of bilateral, which is, I'm not a governmental official,
sure,
but I raised a few issues which were important for the people, including visa regulations and so on and so forth, which they responded positively, which we welcomed it. There is the issue of peace, and also the same issue that we are discussing it here, that while we are participating in the negotiations, both sides are expected to show flexibility,
mm-hmm,
and asking our colleagues in Pakistan to encourage Taliban towards flexibility.
But when you say asking them to talk to the Taliban and to encourage flexibility, you are conceding that Pakistan holds the key to bring the Taliban to the negotiating table.
The issue is not that who has the key, who is not. Every country has a role to play. And we have no doubt in my mind that instability in Afghanistan will hurt all countries around Afghanistan. No country will be an exception. And there I found, from what I heard, that there is a convergence of interest as far as stability and peace is concerned.
Mm-hmm.
And this is, I think, the point that we stress there, that every country is expected to support us. One country can do more, one country could do less,
mm-hmm,
but there is no country which will be harmed as a result of Afghanistan being peaceful.
But do you agree that General Bajwa and the Pakistani establishment have a great deal of influence over the Taliban?
I have no doubt in my mind that Pakistan as a whole has influence over the Taliban. In this time around, one important issue was that everybody was speaking on the same language. I met with Prime Minister Imran Khan,
right,
which expressed his wishes for peaceful Afghanistan with the same keenness,
mm-hmm,
that I had heard from their military security establishment, the leaders there.
Right. And General Bajwa, did he also speak positively about this, that they will help in making the Taliban more flexible?
General Bajwa had visited Afghanistan a few weeks back.
That's
we had
right.
extensive discussions there, how could be done, what could be done, and he promised that he will send the same messages to them, and he will stress on that point.
Well, you certainly hope that the Taliban are going to listen to him. But my other question is about Zalmay Khalilzad, the U.S. Special Envoy. He's in Islamabad along with the NATO commander, General Austin Miller. What are they doing there?
I think better to ask them. As far as I understand, the trips that Ambassador Khalilzad had in the region, including in Islamabad in the past few months, or in the past 1 or 2 years since he has assumed that role as a special envoy for peace and reconciliation, envoy for the United States, all of those are all around peace in Afghanistan.
But I mean, I'm coming around to the same question, I think, again and again. You know, your visit, Zalmay Khalilzad's visit, the NATO commander's visit, it all seems to me, sitting here in Delhi, that Pakistan's role is absolutely crucial for peace in Afghanistan.
Yeah, Pakistan has an important role. There is no doubt about it. And it's not only one country that is expected or anticipated to be supportive. It's other countries, neighboring countries of Afghanistan, for example, the Islamic Republic of Iran.
Right.
They do have contacts with the Taliban, and during our visit, we will going to discuss issues around that factor. And Uzbekistan had invited Taliban at one or two occasions and encouraged them for dialogue. Russia had played a role at one stage, that's obvious.
But are you concerned, Dr. Abdullah, that, you know, with relations between India and Pakistan being so bad right now, that there could be a factor of instability because of this relationship for peace in Afghanistan?
I would say that relations between countries, different countries, are as they are, and there is a match that that we can say or we can do about it. But the point is that peace in Afghanistan is important for both countries. It's not just for one country. So that's also another factor. And it goes beyond the region. It's not just this region. The relations between the United States and
Pakistan,
the United States and Iran,
right,
has its own serious complications.
Sure.
Russian Federation with the United States or other countries. Countries have their own bilateral relations, and we cannot wish things to be our way.
Yeah.
But at the same time, based on that fact, that everybody will benefit from the peaceful situation in Afghanistan, from a situation where terrorist groups are not based there in our country, that's where we expect countries to be supportive in
court. So what were your likes with what were your talks with Prime Minister Modi like?
It was very good. Prime Minister Modi was very supportive, has been supportive of Afghanistan and the Islamic Republic of Afghanistan. Also, India has helped Afghanistan in reconstruction of our country. Big deal, big way. In the inauguration of the peace talks in Doha, External Affairs Minister Jaishankar spoke.
Right.
Addressed the gathering.
That was a concession, that India was supportive of the Taliban also being on board of the Taliban talks with the Afghan Republic.
I think when we say that we support the peace process, the process will not be with one side talking with itself.
But that's right.
It will have to talk to the other side. And India has been supportive of the Islamic Republic of Afghanistan throughout, also supportive of peaceful settlement. Peaceful settlement, inclusive peaceful settlement, which is acceptable for the people of Afghanistan. In the line, Afghan-led, Afghan-owned, and Afghan-controlled is what we want as Afghans as well.
Would you like India to play a lower profile on the strategic aspect?
I didn't get to your...
So, for example, on the military strategic aspect, would you prefer that India has a lower profile?
India will decide for itself.
But surely you will have a role to ask India to do what it wants to.
India will decide for itself like ever, what sort of a role it will have. We are appreciative of the role that India has played in support of Afghanistan and Afghanistan's people. Also, certainly, they will have a role amongst the partners of the country when it comes to peace and post-peace development of Afghanistan as well.
So what do you make of US President Donald Trump's comment that all the troops will be back home by Christmas?
The previous arrangement was that part of the troops will withdraw by November, which is close to
Christmas
time. This new tweet which has been issued, I haven't met anybody to see whether this is part of the same decision or talking about the same decision which has already been made, or it's something, a new element will be added to that, in what way, and what, so on and so forth. I'm not in a position to know about it and to explain it.
Whether or not he remains US president after November, but the fact is that today he is president.
Yeah.
And if he's saying that all the troops will be back, that certainly upsets your calculations.
Most of their troops are already back. It was a few years back, it was 120,000.
That's right.
Today we are talking about less than 10,000.
Mm.
And that also will be as I mentioned, there will be a decrease further until November. So that's also part of that decision to eventually to get all troops
right.
But details of it, I'm not aware of the details of what has been issued as
but
a tweet.
Dr. Abdullah, when you look at the talks, I mean, of course, you're saying that you've had 40 years of civil strife and you want to put an end to it, and the people are tired of this instability. But do you see that this is a last chance to talk to the Taliban, and that things have to go well from here?
I would say that we shouldn't miss this chance. And it's important because peace is not more urgent for anybody than it is for the people of Afghanistan, because of the continued suffering of the people, continued violence, and so on and so forth. I wouldn't say that this we should consider it as the last chance, but this is an important opportunity, and why let it fail? That's what we want to say.
You know, the Taliban delegation has Anas Haqqani, who's the son of Sirajuddin Haqqani, and the Haqqani network, as far as India is concerned, has been involved in bomb blasts in Kabul. In fact, some Indians died in that. So it seems that, you know, here is the Haqqani network participating in talks for peace. What kind of peace will it be?
No country has suffered more than the Afghan people,
right?
Because of what has happened in the past nearly three decades, in relation to the Taliban, but altogether more than four decades. This is a situation that we want to bring it to an end, that nobody will suffer, nobody will die as a result of those terrorist actions. And Afghanistan is not a place for terrorist actions or use of violence for political purposes. That's the aim of those negotiations. Nobody wished that situation to continue, neither for the people of Afghanistan nor the rest of the region.
You know, this brings me back to 1999, when the Indian Airlines aircraft was hijacked to Kandahar, and India's former foreign minister came to meet the Taliban foreign minister, Mr. Muttawakil. Now, and then those hijackers disappeared into Pakistan. So this whole story, it seems almost as if it could be replayed again with the Pakistanis again having this very influential role.
The point is that it's important that Afghanistan, or Afghanistan's people, they make peace within the country, within and also without. That's important. While having different ideas, diverse views about the situation, we start learning to live in peace.
Right.
That has not happened, and that opportunity has not been there in the past 42 years. That's the important thing. The same Mr. Mutawakil, now Foreign Minister Jaswant Singh, former External Affairs Minister of India, which I knew, which was a good friend of mine, I had known him for many, many years. He has passed away.
Yes.
Mr. Mutawakil, which was in the other side of the table, it is 20 years since he's living peacefully in Afghanistan.
Right.
At that time, he was the foreign minister of the country. So things have changed. But as far as the future of the country is concerned, a country which is at peace within and without, a country which is democratic, a country which does not harbor any terrorist group in its own soil, against any country. That's what we want to achieve. And that's, I think, worth making efforts and extra efforts.
But are you concerned that, you know, when the Taliban was in power for 5 years, from 96 to 2001, it was a very brutal regime? I mean, you know, like women, the situation of women was terrible. You know better than anybody else. Not allowed to work, they were not even considered equal, not even half a man. So are you concerned that something like this could happen again?
I'm not concerned about that part, because it will not happen that way.
How are you so sure, Dr. Abdullah? If that's one of the conditions that the Taliban puts?
These are some of the things that these are the inalienable rights of the people, fundamental rights of the people, which people have made so much sacrifices.
But are you willing to break? Are you willing to break with these peace talks if the Taliban insists that there will not be equality? What do you think?
We are in the very initial phase of the talks, and to draw lines that we will break if this happened, to break if that happened, that will not be the way forward. The way forward is to sit together and to find solutions that works, that we can live in peace, while having different views, very different views. Our views and Taliban views, our outlook of the world and Taliban outlook of the world is very different, completely different. They cannot impose their way, their thinking upon us. We cannot impose our thinking upon them. But can we create a situation that we contest for our ideas peacefully, through civil means, rather than resorting to violence and terrorism?
But what is the bottom line? Is the bottom line that every citizen is equal?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Men and women?
Absolutely.
And that women have equal rights to men?
Absolutely.
I mean, it's a strange question to ask in the 21st century, but it must be asked.
Of course, there is no other way for the country to develop or address the challenges that we will be faced. If half of the population, or less than half of the population, are discriminated against, or their rights are violated.
What about minorities? You know, there was a very small Sikh population in Afghanistan, which is now relocating to India because of the terror attacks in Gurudwaras, in Kabul actually. What would you say to these small minorities?
In the same way that we are talking about the right of citizens, the right of minorities is also important. Those which are citizens should be treated equally in accordance to the law.
So again, when you say that the Taliban is not showing flexibility, how do you expect it to show flexibility when there are such big issues to be dealt with?
There are even bigger issues than that to be dealt with. And it depends on each side's will and determination do we want to find a solution for it or not. And I don't want to sound pessimistic. I don't want to sound unrealistic. It's a negotiating table. Issues will be put on the table and will be negotiated. There will be ups and downs. There will be back and forth. There will be setbacks. But at the same time, hopefully both sides are equally determined that they will find a solution which works for everybody.
And Pakistan holds the key?
Sorry?
And Pakistan?
The key is with the Afghan people, eventually. And as I mentioned, different countries has an interest in it, and also a stake, and also influence in the peaceful Afghanistan, in a situation which Afghanistan is stable. I see collective interest of so many countries addressed.
Dr. Abdullah, thank you so much for your time, for speaking to The Print, and we will hold you to all these statements. We will be watching here from Delhi. Sure. About the story of Afghanistan as it unfolds over the next few weeks and months. But thank you so much for your time, and please do watch The Print and tell us what you think about it.
Thank you. And our people are watching us. Our people are looking forward that we represent them, we represent their collective interest.
Yeah.
And I have no doubt in my mind that the top most priority for the people of Afghanistan is inclusive peace, just, dignified, and durable peace. Good to see you and good to talk to you.
Thank you so much, sir. Thank you.